all things. But anyway, our invitation hymn will be on page 380. 380, please mark your hymn books.
Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour through this pilgrim land. Oh, take me by thy power. Here my people plead. Oh, Lord, dear Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let the church say amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. It's good to be here this morning. Nothing that we can give ourselves that caused us to be here. It's through God's will that we are still here. And you know, when you look at it, God's will is all powerful. And there's nothing like it that man has that can equal it. So we need to trust in the Lord and be confident in His wisdom and His knowledge and in His Word. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 24th chapter of the book of Acts. And we'll touch upon that scripture, those couple of scriptures in a moment. But first of all, let us go to God in prayer. O Lord, O great God of heaven, we have been blessed once again, O Lord. Father, you touched us gently this morning and got us up. You called us that we may come back to life, O Lord. Father, we thank you for all you do for us. We thank you for the bread that we had for our stomachs. We thank you for the roof that was over our head. We thank you for the bed we slept in. We thank you for the clothes we put on this morning to come out to your house. And we thank you most of all for your house and the salvation you brought unto us through the deliverance of yourself on the cross. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all and everything and everybody this morning, O Lord. Father, we pray for those who are in need of prayer, and I believe that to be everybody. Father, we pray for those who we consider to be our enemies as well, because we must pray for them also. Father, we pray for the church this morning, especially this local congregation. We pray and ask you, O Heavenly Father, that if it be thy will, that you would bless and be with the leaders in this congregation as well as with their family members. We pray for the membership here and that we pray for their family members also. We pray for those who might be sick this morning and not able to be with us. We pray for those who are on the long-term illness list. We just pray that if it be your will, O Lord, you would touch them with the healing that's in your finger. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we pray, O Lord, for this world in which we live, that it may become a more peaceful place to live. We pray for not only ourselves, but we pray for our neighbors, families, and friends. We pray for this city. We pray around the block, around the corner, and down the street as well. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. Father, we pray and thank you for those who protect us when we need protecting. We pray for those who doctor unto us when we need doctoring. We pray for those who are in leadership authority, Father, that they may consider and do the right thing whenever it's called upon them to do such. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member here this morning. And Father, we pray that as we go through this sermon, this message this morning, we want to thank those who have taken part in the lessons thus far, in the services thus far, and we pray for those who shall come from this point on. Be with us all now, Heavenly Father, and be with those who are parenting their children, that they may raise them up in the right way, O Lord. Give them strength, give them wisdom, and give them knowledge. And Father, thank you for everything and so much. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask it all, and we say, amen. this morning from Acts, the 24th chapter. Starting at verse number 24, the Bible says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given to him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him." This morning, for just a little while, we want to talk about when close is not good enough. Close is not good enough. There's more to one calling him or her or herself religious. For one can be a good person and think they are religious, yet they can still find themselves lost and without hope. You might say a person in that position to be religious, but may or may not be righteous. In the text, Paul spoke to Felix about Christ Jesus. But Felix was not ready to become a committed Christian. Like some today who would want to accept Christ on their terms, not on His word. So today, as we look for a few minutes in this text and in the book called the Bible, we'll see what the word of God has to say. Close is not good enough. One can be religious and still be lost. In Matthew chapter 7, in the verses 21 and 22, turn over with me, if you will, to Matthew 7, 21 and 22. In Matthew 7, 21 and 22, the Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and it..." Oh, I'm sorry, 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out devils, and in the name done many wonderful works?" Well, simply calling out, "Lord, Lord," is not enough to get us into heaven by itself. We must do the will of God, the will of the God of heaven. Not doing the will of Christ and simply calling out His name, it is as if we are mocking Him. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not prophesied in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Doing all of these things mentioned there in verse number 22 will not be enough if one is not doing the will of God. Which brings us to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 23, where it says, And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying a person does not have to perform miracles to get to heaven, but he has to do the will of God. For it is grace that brought us to salvation. We are no longer under the law of old, but instead we are under grace. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." We have been given salvation through Christ and His cross. Do you remember that during the time of Paul, there were two main religious groups of that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Both of them now were religious. One group believed in the resurrection and the other did not. But what they did have in common was they rejected the gospel of Christ, which when Paul preached to them, they were religious, but yet they were lost. They were close, but close is not good enough. Close is not good enough. Won't it be wonderful someday to stand before God and be told, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. as in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 21. But then on the other hand, it would be a shame to have lived our lives and to be told to depart from me, for I know you not. Your works was that of iniquity. That's being close, but close is not good enough. That's being close, but that's not close enough. Religion without the gospel of Christ will not get us into heaven. Somebody may ask the question this morning, I think I'm a good, they may say I'm a good person, but then ask the question, will I go to heaven? Well, that's going to be God's judgment call if you'll get into heaven or not. But the one thing I tell you, you can't get to heaven without being with Jesus, connected up with Jesus Christ. Now, for those who say, well, I thank God every day when I get up. I pray every night before I go to bed. But, well, there's more to religion than just simply praying, because you've got to do the will of God in order to know what you, how to pray and when to pray and what to pray for. So think about it, church. Look at the text once again. Paul preached to Felix. He reasoned to him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." What did Paul preach? He preached about Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us what Paul preached to Felix. He preached righteousness, which is a purity of heart, being and doing that which is righteous. Today we know that what the Bible teaches us to be righteous, as in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. But of him ye are ye in Christ Jesus, who are of God, is made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Paul not only preached righteousness, he preached temperance, which is self-control, meaning one must practice control over his or her desires and passions. Temperance, he preached, is one of the fruit of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23. And in verse number, Ephesians 5:23, the fruits of the Spirit, and 25, that if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's hard for us to say that we are spiritual and then walk not spiritually. Paul preached on the judgment to come. We need to know that the judgment time is coming. We need to understand that one day I'm going to die, and Hebrews 9 and 27, and it is appointed to man once to die, after this, the judgment. We've got to understand that we're all going to die. We've got to understand that after death there comes judgment. We need to make sure we understand the consequences of living as well as what happens after life ends. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 17, the Bible says the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? You can't say to yourself, I'm close to being a Christian. Being close to being a Christian is not good enough. Being close to being a Christian, being close to following God, is not good enough. Felix, like many of us today, we have heard the gospel, but we're not ready to accept it, just like Felix wasn't. In other words, they are close, but not close enough to accept it. The imputed righteousness of Jesus is the only righteousness acceptable to God. And when you look at the record of the Lord, when you look at the record of God, in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 6, the Bible says, we are all as unclean things, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. None of us are completely without sin, so the warning given to Israel has great meaning to us as well. It tells us how we are to stand before God. We ought to stand righteously in the sight of God. Today, if we are standing, if you are standing, if I'm standing, if we are standing far away from God, you need to come closer to Him and His righteousness. Even though we may think we are close to Him, for one can be close and then still find himself a guilty distance from God's throne. Have you ever talked to somebody who said, "Well, I believe in the Lord, I just don't go to church. I believe in the Lord, but I just don't believe in everything the Bible says. But yet I do believe in the Lord." Well, there's a person that needs some teaching. I'll tell you what that person needs to be taught about. He needs to be taught that the will of God is the record of God, and that the record of God is what we need to live our lives by. So when we think about it, just saying one is righteous is not enough. That may put you close, but that's not good enough. And when you get close to the Lord and you get real close to the Lord, you'll understand that living close is still living on the edge. If you're not close enough, you're still on the edge. And one cannot almost be saved. In the text, we find an age-old excuse for not obeying the gospel. People just like Felix heard the gospel and still not respond to it. And many give that same old excuse that we find in verse number 25. And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. And Felix trembled. Felix was afraid. And he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for you." Paul reasoned with him about the Lord. He talked about Jesus Christ, and that's what we have to talk about today. Now, I know we could become a real popular church here if we talked about some of the things that people want to hear about. If we talked about when we have our social night, when the boys get together with the girls, and if we have our bingo night, then we could reel them in then. But you know what? That's not in the record of God. That's not in the record of God, and there's no reason why we need to talk about it, because what we need to talk about is the record about Jesus Christ. So when people hear the gospel, and still many of them don't respond to it, when they give that same age-old excuse that I'll call for you when the time seems right to me. That's what he's saying. Look at verse number 25 once again. He says, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." But I asked the question this morning, what if you don't make it to a convenient season? What if it never comes around to you again to hear the gospel? That's why you need to respond right now, right today, when you hear the gospel. The record shows that he became frightened. The Bible says he trembled. But then he still used the reason that I'll call you when I get a chance. And that's what we're saying when we don't respond to the gospel of Christ. When the preacher or the teacher teaches God's word, if you can hear it, then it is the time to obey it. We know not if we will ever have that opportunity to hear the gospel again. We may not ever be able to get this close again. We can't be close to getting to heaven. We shall either make it or we won't. We can't be close to coming to church. We either come or we don't. We can't be close to studying the Word of God. We either read and study the Word of God or we don't. We can't be close to becoming or to being a Christian. We can't be close to being baptized. And certainly when it comes to serving the Lord, we can't be close, because close is not good enough. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thank God, for the gospel is available to all who will accept it. Jesus paid in full payment for our salvation. He paid for it with His blood, with His life. You know, it's hard to conceive sometimes when you look up at the cross, when you look at the cross, how that Jesus stretched out His arms, gave up His life, and we still say, if I have a chance, I'll come to church. If I have a chance, I'll come to church. That means I'm close to coming, but I'm not there yet. I'm close to becoming a Christian, but I'm not there yet. Look at what the text says in verse number 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul that he might loose it. See, his reason for hearing Paul was all about money. He reasoned that somebody would pay him money to loose Paul. But I tell you something, church. We don't come to church for money. We collect money in church, don't get me wrong. But we don't come to church to be paid in money. We come to church to be paid with our soul, with our soul. That's what we're here for, to save our soul. And when I look at the matter, I look at Felix and I think about some of us today. When the Bible says, He said, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I think about some of us today. I think about how do you know that you will get this opportunity all over again? How do you know that God is going to allow you to live long enough to be here to get another opportunity? Won't it be a sad affair that while we're living, we allow our soul to be lost when they don't have to be? Why not come closer to the Lord? Why not come closer right now while we still can? Remember, God does not, shall not, and shall not deal in close. He only deals in two things, four things, right or wrong, heaven or hell. There is no almost provisions in the Word of God. You will go only to heaven or hell. You will be either close, but still not close enough, or you will be close enough that you just might make it. But there is no in between. There's no way that God deals in close, but not good enough. He's either going to say, you go to the left, or you go to the right. When I look at this matter and I think about it, I ask myself this question sometimes. Am I doing all the right stuff? Am I doing enough? Am I living for the will of God? And that's my own personal question to me. You have to ask yourself your own personal inventory question. So when I ask and I look at this matter closer, I wonder sometimes, what more can I do? I wonder if I'm doing enough, and I wonder if could I do more? Then, when I look a little further at the matter, when Felix heard all of this good news, he heard the gospel, he preached of Jesus Christ, he preached on temperance, righteousness, judgment to come. When he preached on those things, did Felix really hear him? Or was he like some of us, half asleep while the preacher is preaching? Did I wake you up? So when I look at this matter further, I think about what he said to him again. He said, go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. When I think about it a little bit more, when I decide I want to get right, I'll call for you again. When I think my time is, I have more time to deal with this issue or what you're talking about. But you see, God may not always give you that time to come up with a convenient season. So when I think about it, church, when I think about us, on loving, for instance, on loving one another, the Bible does not instruct us to come close to loving one another. It says we are taught of God to love one another in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse number 9. We are taught to love one another with a pure heart in 1 Peter 1 and 22. We can't be close. We must do as the Bible tells us to. Otherwise, we shall find ourselves close, but not close enough. close is not good enough. We can't find ourselves close but not good enough to enter into the gates of heaven. And when close is not good enough, your life, your soul may be lost. So I would caution all of us this morning, if you're standing a guilty distance from God's throne, you need to ask the Lord, how can I get closer and accept His will and His way? You can't say, Lord, give me just another opportunity and I'll call upon You when I get an opportunity. Well, see, we don't call upon God to ask. We ask Him for an opportunity, but we don't call upon Him and dictate to Him how much time we'll have left. We ask God, if You'll give me some more time, Lord. If, Lord, You'll bless me to see another day. If, Lord, You'll give me just a little more time. But it's God's calling and not our calling. Isn't that right, church? So when I look back at the Scripture, and I think about those few Scriptures that we used this morning, and I look at it, and look at verse 24 as I wrap this up now. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul. And look what the text says. And heard him concerning the faith in Christ. But was he really listening? He heard something, but apparently he didn't hear the right message that he thought he should have heard. He wanted to hear about money. And sometimes when we come to church today, I wonder what we're coming for. If you're not coming to hear the Word of God, what then are you coming for? When I remember sometimes thinking about how good God is to all of us. You know, we didn't have to get up this morning. We didn't have to wake up. But yet there were some people who were awakened this morning, but they couldn't get out of their beds. There were some who were awakened this morning, but didn't have what they needed to sustain them throughout the day. They didn't have food in their cupboard. They didn't have clothes to put on their bodies. But God has been good to us. Do you think God has been good to you? All right. You ought to let the Lord of heaven know that you think He's been good to you. You go to God in prayer and you thank Him. You thank Him for everything. A lot of folk think that the only time I'm supposed to thank God is when I get something. Well, you already got something. You got life, health, and strength. And if you don't have your health, you know how precious health can be if you don't have it. You know how precious life is because you live life each and every day. And I know some of us just take life for granted. We move along in this world and we never look back. We think that it's old to us. We think that God is going to just excuse everything that we do and we just keep moving along. I'll live the way I want to until I die. And guess what? We're all going to die. And guess what? After death comes the judgment. Oh, that's the part that we ought to be trembling about. Just like Felix trembled when he heard about it. We all ought to tremble unless you're standing in a good method with Christ or in a good way with Christ. You'll be close, but close won't be good enough. When you think about how many people have passed through this life, I sometimes wonder to myself how many people have actually lived before me. And I wondered how did they live? And I wondered, did they trust in the Lord like we are supposed to be trusting in the Lord? Or did they just live on the fringes? Did they live close but not good enough? Then I think and I ask myself this question. Lord, bless me and give me the strength I need. It's not a question, it's a statement. Lord, bless me and give me the strength that I need to carry on. But then when I think further about it, I look at people around this world in me, and I see people. There are a few people, and I'm not including everybody, and I'm not talking about anybody in the church here. But you know, some folk won't help other folk. Some folk don't do nothing, and they got everything in this life. And you know something? Money. Money is good to have, but it can become an abusive power in the wrong hands. When I think about how much money that I have, and I say to myself, I don't have nearly enough. But I'm not going to go out and commit any kind of strange act to get any more either. I want to live the way the Bible tells me to live. Now, do I always do that? I'm sure I don't. And you don't either. But one thing I can tell you, as far as we know, we ought to make sure that we are living in the manner that the Bible tells us to live. Now that I know, that we ought to live like the record tells us to live. And the record doesn't tell us to live close to what it says. It tells us we need to live the way it dictates to us to live. Because close is not good enough. Close will not get us. We can't almost get close to heaven's gate. We've got to make it to heaven in order to get beyond the gate. And I look and I think to myself, what a wonderful day that's going to be when we all get to heaven. Let us all just consider that we're going there. That might spur us on. That might become a priority in our life to try to work to get there if we say we're going there. That encourages us. And the church ought to encourage us. We ought to learn to edify one another so that we can be good enough, not simply close, but good enough to get into heaven. You see, I just pray and ask the God of heaven each and every day to bless me. And I may as well tell you, I always pray for you all too. Because you know what I always say, you pray for me and I'll pray for you, but even if you don't, I'm still going to pray for you. And I still do pray for each and every one of you here in the congregation this morning. And those that are missing, I'm praying for them too. And I want you to do likewise and pray for me. Because I need all the prayers that I can get. And you need all the prayers that you can get. Because I don't want to be close. I want to be good enough. So how do I become good enough? Well, I live the will of the Lord, and I follow His will. I follow His will, and I study the Bible, and I do all the things that the Lord has told me to do or tells me to do, and then I treat everybody right. I'm talking about all of us. I'm not speaking of me alone. I treat everybody right like the Bible tells. I even love that person that I hate down the street. I love him, but I still hate him. I hate what he does. So what you got to do, how do I get close to the Lord? You come by hearing. You hear the Word of God. You believe in the Word of God. You confess your faults one to another. You repent, repent of your past sin. Then you confess the Lord to be the Son of the living God. And then you be baptized this morning. We can baptize you just this morning. You don't have to wait till the fourth Sunday. You don't have to wait till the fifth Sunday. You can do it this morning. This morning, or if it's close to afternoon, this afternoon. And if you've already taken those steps in the past in your life, but somewhere you've walked astray, you ask the Lord to forgive you and ask the church to pray for you that you may grow stronger and grow back unto the Lord. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.